Thank you for tuning in to WPVMLP Asheville, North Carolina, 103.7, streaming online, WPVMFM.org, the voice of Asheville, heard all over the world.
Listening to WPVMLP 103.7 on the dial in Asheville, North Carolina, and globally at radioasheville.org. Real people, real voices. I'm your host, Charlotte, and welcome to the Magpie, bringing you a jumble of shiny songs and stories to add to your collection. Psychics and mediums. Many images come to mind. A candlelit table, silks and lace, an older woman with wrinkled hands and purple nails pulling your future from a crystal ball. But the real world of spiritualism is just as fascinating. Finding methods to communicate with the dead is almost as old as man itself. Spanning across thousands of cultures, the idea of the afterlife and the pounding curiosity of humanity has created many rich spiritual practices. Mediumship in the United States as we know it today arose in the mid-19th century. In the midst of the Industrial Revolution, Victorians were fascinated with the occult. And in 1848, the Fox Sisters of Hadesville, New York, began to establish spiritualism as a religion. The two younger sisters, Maggie and Kate, attempted to communicate with the spirits in their home through a series of knocking and tapping. After being picked up by the New York Tribune, the practice spread like wildfire. This birthed the image of the seance table that you may think of today. The practice donned the harbors of Britain in 1852 through the talents of Maria B. Hayden, following a similar method. Even Queen Victoria and Prince Albert were early participants of the new spiritualism movement. Through the centuries, these types of seances have fallen out of fashion and mediumship has sprung a new leaf. Today we will be hearing from two psychic mediums from our very own Western North Carolina. Alex Moody and Anthony Mikuljeski, as they open up about their experiences working and living amongst the spirit world. The idea of a psychic medium is certainly controversial in today's world, though I hope you'll be able to sit back and listen to their stories with an open mind. Our first guest is the Moody medium, although she is anything but. Enjoy! Thank you for joining me. So,
yes.
How would you describe a psychic medium, and what's the difference between that and a regular medium?
Oh my gosh. Diving right in. I love it. So the saying always goes like, not all psychics are mediums, but all mediums are psychics. So like you can have someone who's, and I'm terrible with remembering names and things like this, but there's a guy who does, he's like only a psychic. He does, you know, predictions, and he actually does almost like a comedy thing where he goes around and, well, reads people's minds for a living. So that's like a little bit more of the psychic piece of things, where the mediumship would be talking to past loved ones, ancestors, things like that. Both like psychics can also talk to guides, angels, depending on the kind of reader they are. Every reader is different for sure. When it comes to that, I always joke around that I'm never predicting the future, which is always funny because people are like, wait, what? Isn't that the term of psychic? But the main one, a few of the main, I would say, ethics I live by is like not overriding free will, right? So we're working with people deeply in a lot of questions they have about their lives or like ancestry. Sometimes we go into, you know, I have clients who find out their dad or their mom are not their bio parents on ancestry.com, something like that. And we can like go into the lineage.
Interesting. So what type of processes do you go through when conducting a reading?
Yes. Yeah. So I do readings. So I do a nervous system body work. The reason I bring that up, it's called orthobionomy. It's like named really terribly, but it was the 80s. I think he was trying to sound kind of a little more scientific in that way. It is all about like nervous system. I work with clients with like PTSD, things like that, as well as like acute trauma, you know, sprained ankle, something like that. And so I do that both in person and remote, but learning that, I was able to regulate my own nervous system so that I could offer my gifts. So I'm visual. So I actually am definitely neurodivergent too, obviously. So I have my eyes closed throughout the reading. I'm visual and I feel things, but I do feel we all have all of the clairs, right? Like when it comes to listening to my guides, they're a voice. So, I mean, I see them and interact with them, but we're working with a little bit with that in connection to questions about their lives, things like this. I animal communicate, so we can go into that, you know. And yeah. So we're bringing in like all of the support. And that's what, you know, my process was getting support in my system so that I could feel like I could offer my gifts. I grew up in a haunted house. So like I didn't want to be a medium, but it always felt scarier to me than when I did step into my gifts and I was like, oh my gosh, I should have been doing this forever. I'm such an idiot. You know, like when we finally all step into our gifts, we're like, oh, duh. Yeah, it's like the easiest thing ever, but it's for me was a longer process. So I do a little bit of both of those things where I do the orthobiotomy. And then I mainly work remote with readings. So I have probably, I would say like 30% of my clients are Ashevillians or local to Western North Carolina, and then the rest are elsewhere.
Okay. Yeah. Could we circle back to orthobiotomy.
So the etymology breaks down to like the correct application of life, kind of like that, meaning more so our ability to self-correct. So if we're given the support and the tools and the resources to look at ourselves, we are able to then respond and self-correct. So we put the system in a regulatory space of like what's working. We go with what is. A good example of this is if someone has a psoas issue in their back or in their, you know, well, psoas covers a lot of places, and they're kind of hunched over, we would actually go with that energy to come out of it rather than stretch the psoas like, oh, it's shortened, we got to stretch it. We go with the energy. And so a lot of, you know, a lot of my clients, I'll say I run a spiral of protection at the beginning of a reading, and that's orthobiotomy. Like that's kind of creating the container for what wants to come in. And then of course, I always check with the client, make sure, you know, they're comfortable with everything that we both talk about as well. You know, I have clients who I work with pre and post surgery, things like that, where they're not in my office or they went and got a surgery somewhere else. And so then we work remote.
Yeah. So when you do your readings, what kind of sensations do you experience? I read there's a difference between physical and mental mediumship. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
There is, yeah. More of a trance or physical medium is going to more so, although so there are trance mediums that they're not as popular anymore, I feel like, but I could be wrong about that, where they literally become the spirit. They'll talk like them. They don't remember what's happening. Their body is, and there is quote, taken over. I am not a trance medium. I'm definitely a mental medium. Physical mediumship to me is like holding physical objects. I don't need to hold physical objects. Or like if I do a reading for a client who wants to buy a house, I don't need, honestly, I don't even need the street number. I can just feel it from the client, but I just need like to kind of, I can dial into that house from the comfort of, I live in Swannanoa, like from the comfort of my living room. That's more the mental mediumship, which is like crown chakra, a little bit more third eye, connecting in. And then I feel things because too, like, it's not, I feel like it's like such a trigger word, but I am an empath, but I, with good boundaries, I work with clients to, like all feel things. So a good example of this is I actually, when it comes to spirits passing, their name is how I connect. Unlike old school mediums who would be like, is their name John? I'm seeing a John and, yeah, you know, or J name. I'm just like, what's their name? And, or what'd you call them? Definitely never need a last name. And then I can connect in. Same with people in the physical world. So if I have a past loved one who's, let's say, and I don't know this, they passed of, let's say lung cancer, I'll be like, I can really, like, I feel it in my lungs, or I'll feel like a certain feeling of a medication, and then I'll know they were in a hospital or something. And I just talk about it. And then the client can share what they want to share. Some clients will be like, oh my gosh, yep, that's my uncle, blah, 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 and he passed of lung cancer. But, you know, other times they're like, yep, I know who you're talking about, you know, so.
Yeah, because of these gifts, what's your impression of how spirits reside and connect to our world?
Yeah, all kinds of ways. I mean, of course, you know, as a professional psychic medium, of course, I'm going to be like, we need to be more spiritual as a world, right? Like, that's going to be my spiritual soapbox, as I call it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do feel like for a lot of people, you know, we can intertwine spirit. Like, I'm a big fan of working with past lives as a resource for your current life, rather than like, what lesson are we learning? Like, how to integrate things into your world, or maybe there's like some ancestral trauma or something like that, that you're wanting to release, and you can work with a healthy ancestor around that. And then for spirits, you know, when I'm doing readings, we're bringing them down more to what we would call like the energy body or the energy level, while we go up to the energy level. So spirits are more like themselves. And that way we know they're them. They're more like their personality. Because sometimes clients will be like, have they evolved at all? Like, this is them. And I'm like, well, we want to know it's them. And then, yeah, you do get a higher perspective. But if we go up in the frequency, that's where their soul space is. And that's like bliss, unconditional love, things like that, that are, I don't have messages for you there. It's a lovely feeling. You know, it's cool because we can kind of integrate all of these pieces of peace, unconditional love, by working with spirit, and not at all in a spiritually bypassy way, more so in a way to integrate our human, you know, so that we can live a really quality life. I always feel like people who don't believe in psychic mediumship or spiritual things or spirits or ghosts, anything like that, which I could talk about the difference between spirits and ghosts too. You know, there's just this sense of like, everything here is, and everything you see is what exists. So there's just not, to me, as rich of a world for them. It's like a whole world that's not integrated into their system. And that's okay. That's their path. I'm a big fan. I'm like, whenever I talk to people who don't believe in what I do, or who are kind of like, oh, you do that kind of work, I'll hear that, which is totally fine. Then, you know, I'll say like, you know, you just resource differently than I do. Like, you may resource mentally more, or think about like someone who isn't really resourcing or connecting to themselves emotionally. Then typically they're really taxed mentally, or they work, and are really connected to the physical world. There isn't a balance of the, you know, spirit, physical, mental, emotional.
Yeah. So you mentioned that, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned that you grew up in a haunted house.
I did, yes.
How did that like occur? And like, when did you start realizing or experiencing your gifts, your practice?
Yeah. So I, my dad actually still lives there. We transitioned my mom. My mom has dementia. So we transitioned her to memory care last March. So I say dad's house now, which is really weird, but it just helps me keep track of things. So he does still live there. Now, the rest of my family, I have older brother, older sister, do not experience phenomena. My husband has, and some of my nephews and niece have, well, one in particular has. So, so I joke around, like, not that my house wasn't haunted, but I'm like, was it haunted, or am I like a medium, as a joke? Because I did get visited by several things. I would run and sleep on my parents' floor. And it was the stereotypical example of like, it's all in your imagination, Alex, just go back to sleep, like stuff like that. But I do, you know, I'm about to be 44, and I do still experience phenomenon when I go back there. It's not like poltergeist, but it is like, you know, there was one Christmas where I was like basically being talked to by one. I was like 32. I was, you know, it was a while ago. And I describe him to my mom, and I'm like, listen, like, can we just talk about this? Is this, you know, can we look up? Because my house that I grew up in, you know, from age 0 to 4, I lived in the DC area in Capitol Hill. And then we moved to this area called Leesburg, Virginia, which is a Civil War battleground. There's like kind of known for it being haunted. When we moved there, there was just like, I could kind of just immediately feel things going on with that as well.
With these hauntings and everything, how did others react when you did you start talking about this pretty immediately, or?
Yeah, well, it's so funny. You know, the 90s were a weird time. You know, like, yes and no. Like, we would talk about it. I mean, even now, even before, you know, my mom does still have her memory intact in terms of knowing who we are. But even now, my parents are kind of like, okay, so you do that body work thing. And I taught yoga forever. So they're like, you teach yoga. I think it's challenging for them to be like, our daughter is a professional psychic medium a little bit. Cause my dad's a retired engineer, you know, like a much more practical in that way. But I do get my gifts from both lineages. I'm very, very Scottish. So mom and dad side, like both sides. So, you know, it's weird because especially on my mom's side's a little more covert Midwestern. My dad's side's New England. So they would talk about this stuff. And my dad's a really vivid dreamer, but he'll be like, but that's not real. Dreams aren't real. Right. So there's like also the engagement of it, you know, of what, how people engage with these pieces in their world as well, too. Cause you know, sometimes it's a little scary. Whenever I see a spirit, like I checked with a house a few years ago for a client and this spirit, I didn't know this. She had looked up the history, explained what I saw. And I was like, this is really weird. And after the reading, the spirit, like kind of, I call it Beetlejuice or like poltergeist effect, like pulled her eyes out, like tried to scare me. And I was in my own house, but because I grew up in a haunted house, I was like, hi, it didn't scare me, which is like a lot of growth there. Cause it scared me a lot as a kid. I'm like, hey, can you show me another side of you is what I always say. And sometimes spirits get real weird because think about it. Scaring us is a really great way to get attention. Think about humans. If you scare someone, they're like, oh, I mean, they're present right away, you know? And so spirits will do the same thing to get our attention. And so then I'll say, you know, show me, you know, and then she showed me a really sad part. There was something very sad that happened in that house, the loss of a child. You know, I said, I was like, hey, you know, I'm just going to like hold the energy for you to let go of this. Right. And some mediums will be like, create a portal, do all these things. I hold the energy for that part of her to be healed because I feel too, like she's transitioned soul wise. It's this consciousness that's stuck on earth.
So with the like ability to sense these things, the ability to clear energy and everything, do you think this is something people are innately born with or something that you can develop over time intentionally?
Yes, there's a few different. Yes, there's definitely mediums by birth, I think is what it's called. So there are mediums by birth and then there are mediums by training. There are mediumship schools, psychic mediumship schools as well that people will go to. I did not go to school. I worked with a few psychic mediums to develop my gifts. And then with the orthobiography training and yoga therapeutics, that was all the like space holding. Actually, I have a master's degree in education. So I did a lot of, I was a career counselor for a long time. So I did a lot of therapy counseling classes in that master's. So, cause it's a lot about listening, a lot about listening, to people as well and to spirits. So, and then you have ones that train and work to connect in. Everybody has gifts too. I should have really started there. Everybody has gifts. It is not like you have a gift, you don't like ever. We all have gifts. It's actually a really cool part. One of my favorite part about readings is like we can go into people's inherent gifts. And most of the time, because they're inherent, people don't realize like, oh, that's a gift or, oh, not everybody sees the world like that. I'm like, no. So it's cool because you can develop 100%. I always call it right relationship, which is the body work I do. One of the principles of like, you can develop right relationship with your higher self. I would say start with the higher self. That's like our filter for our information. And then it's not like, okay, I've got 10 guides. Where are they? Right. It's like, we can filter the information through. And that's where like signs and symbols comes in. People love to talk about signs and symbols when it comes to mediumship. I find spirits have lots of different ways of connecting with us. Yes. Signs and symbols, but also of course, dreams or more paranormal. They flicker the lights, they move things, or they have more of a sense of like mischievous energy. They'll like, you know, change things up, or they're a feeling, they're a presence, right? Where we have to kind of sit with that energy and talk to it that way.
What would you describe a spirit guide as?
Yeah. So everybody has spirit guides. And now there are a lot of different philosophies about this too. Some believe we have one primary spirit guide. I'll see one guide that works with us that you don't really need to name. They work through us. That's what I would equate to the main spirit guide. They can work with practitioners. Like, let's say you get a massage, they can work through the practitioner to intuitively help heal you. They're like your compass, your roadmap. They can be really helpful. An analogy I use, which I'm not a runner. I play tennis, so I run for a tennis ball and that's about it. But is if you're running a marathon, would you just run barefoot naked through the streets of Chicago? No, like you would have the right shoes, the right outfit, gel packs. You have the people who hold the signs. You have the water stations. You have all the support of the people, of everyone. That's like your guides. They're like, you need a glass of water? Let's get you a glass of water, right? They want to support you in like your highest purpose in life. And so it can sometimes be similar to me, like where they're clairaudient, where I hear a voice and I like talk to them. But then every once in a while, they'll like single themselves out. So I have like a pretty Celtic guide that I work with. Then I have like an astrology guide because I love astrology. So he helps me channel more astrology, things like that. And then, you know, like, I have a, this always creeps people out, but I have like a more like bodily guide that works with my body. And sometimes like they'll like infuse my body with a lot of energy, things like that. So, and then of course I have specific guides for spirituality and mediumship that help me, of course, connect with the other side. So they're typically tied to our gifts as well.
Yeah. So you've mentioned clairaudience, clairvoyance. What are the clairs?
Clairvoyant would be like clear knowing, clear seeing, like being able to, it's a little bit what I do. That would be probably more connected to like the third eye, seeing into the future, right? And it's all about how we organize the information. So a clairaudient is going to organize the information via hearing things. So it's like, okay, like I heard this. And sometimes it's like you hear something and it's like, I don't know what that sentence means. And so I basically organize the information. The first question I always ask my guides is like, is this for a client or is this for me? Because then I can kind of know where to put that information. And then it may come up in a reading that day or later that week, something like that. So I have the information readily available. And this is what happens too with how we take in the information with the different, so let's see, I get a visual, right? I see something. Clairvoyant was the seeing. Clear knowing would be like, I felt it. I know this to be true. Like, it's like more of this like gut feeling that definitely everybody has. When people are like, I just had this weird feeling. So I didn't go, I drove a different way home, you know? And then they found out there was like an accident on the other road they were on, right? And so that would be like more of like this clear knowing. And we all have a little bit of this because it's up to us to understand the information. It's up to us to participate in that. Spirit is always going to be like leaving it on the table for us to pick up. It's never going to be like, hey, you've got to work on this. You know, we do have guardian angel energy. That's the only time that they can really like kind of take over our free will. You know, like a few years ago, I got hit by a drunk driver on a red light. It was a hit and run. So there's a lot of drama, I will say, attached to it. But as I was driving, I was the third car in row, and it was like right on Hendersonville Road, kind of near, a little bit near the Cinemark there, or the theater, the apartment complex right across from there. Like the light turned green. I was like, oh, I want to make this light. And I just heard, hey, slow down, slow down. And so I pumped my brakes. And that day we had a Versa and a Bronco. And I insisted, my husband and I switch cars a lot. I insisted on having the Bronco. I wasn't even supposed to be at that light when I was. There's some rescheduling. And I get hit, and he hits me within an inch of like T-boning me. So he just ripped the whole engine off of. And so even the guy at the junkyard the next day was like, well, your wife had some guardian angels with you. So I did some EMDR. I did some work on it, of course, because I had some PTSD. And I could see this angel, this guardian angel standing right there. Now, I also heard that voice, and I know, I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to this voice. And had I not slowed down, he would have probably either killed me or himself, or very seriously injured me. And in that too, even then, I had people that were like, you're psychic. Didn't you know you were going to get hit? And it was so funny. I was like, well, I was extremely anxious all day. I knew something was coming.
How do you deal with skepticism and the public reaction surrounding your work?
Yeah, I have, I joke around, I have two skeptics a year. The reading is always a little tougher. It's kind of like going, I do a compare. It's like going on a date and you're asking all the questions. There's no energy there. Majority of my clients are very into this stuff, very into receiving messages. I try to stay away from words open and closed because there are skeptics of this work that are very open in other aspects of their life. So it's not even like, well, you got to open up to it. It's more, oftentimes people have to experience it in order to believe in it. And that's pretty typical of humans. There'll be people who experience things and then are like, okay, now I'm a believer, right? But they don't integrate it more into their lives. I will 100% never debate, especially in my life, if I'm just like hanging out with friends, I would never debate someone if what I do is real or not, because, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to convince you that something is real that you don't think is real. Like that's cool. That's your belief. I went and saw John Edward in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he spent like 20 minutes on this family whose dad had passed of colon cancer. And I was sitting there like, I could see it. I was like, he's right there. 20 minutes on these people. And they go, oh my God, he did pass of that. And they like freak out. And I'm sitting here and it's a whole audience. And I'm like, why did we just waste all this time on them? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. That was just my perspective of it. Like, I was like, we could have gotten into like amazing messages from him or like had them been able to feel the energy of their loved ones. Like I want people, like I use this as an example. I get her permission for it too, of course. Mm-hmm. Her son passed several years ago and she's local. She and I do readings on certain times of the year and we connect in with him. He's like a riot. We're almost like friends now. Yeah. And she records it. And then she says, when I listen back to it, she goes, it's like I'm texting with my son again.
Listening to The Magpie at 103.7 on the dial. I'm your host Charlotte and that was psychic medium Alex Moody. If you would like to find out more information about her, you can visit her site at themoodymedium.com. I would now like to welcome our next guest, Anthony Mikuljeski, who has earned the title of the Asheville Medium. I know you will appreciate his vivid storytelling just as much as I did. Enjoy!
My name is Anthony Mikuljeski, and I go as the Asheville Medium. And I've been here in Asheville for, since 2003. So I've been here for a while. And I used to live in Asheville, and now I live outside of Asheville. And so I'm a working professional medium full-time. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. So you were saying, what is the difference between a psychic and a medium?
Well, they are completely different. Being a psychic, you actually are expanding your energetic field or your auric field, and you're gently blending with the auric field or the energetic field of the person in front of you. And you're able to, see different insights. We as psychics, we work with our clairs, which is like our clairvoyance, our clairsentience, clairaudience, and there's many others, all the clairs. And basically what you're doing is you're sensing and getting visions and you're getting audio and you're getting sensations that you are getting from the client. Mm-hmm. And so when you're reading for someone psychically or mediumistically, it's like a sign language. Okay. And you can actually tap into someone's spirit guides, you know, like we all have one major spirit guide that comes to us when we incarnate into this world. And then we have other, and that would be like the principal. And then we have other teachers that come through the course of life. in and out of our life. Once we've learned the lessons, then they step back and somebody else comes forward. And that teaches us more lessons. So.
I'm not. suis vraiment très content.
Tonight they will be mine. Maybe you are tempting me, but I'm gonna take my time. I'm wanting you so bad. But I'm trying to be so Roxy, we walk into a dream. Go-go girls, they dance above the clouds, or so it seems. But we don't want to dance until the DJ draws a crowd. I wish we had a private velvet sofa just for now. I'm sure the VIPs have one spoken for two. We walk right by security, somehow they let us through. I'm wanting you so bad, and I'm trying to be to it, darling. Listen to it, darling. And then we both remember what our bodies came to do. We dance until the freedom takes a hold of me and you. It's Easter Sunday morning, but the DJ doesn't care. You kill me when you slap me with that Kansas City hair. The go-go girls, they rise above a room full of sardines. There is absolutely no girl who can work her way between. I'm wanting you so.
and it started to blow. Thawed out the drums and it started to roll away. Flying saucer, rock and roll. Flying saucer, rock and roll. I couldn't understand a thing they said. Crazy beat just stopped me dead. Rock and roll. I couldn't understand a thing they said. Crazy beat just stopped me dead.
Some girls may want to be free, but baby, all I wanna be is your girl. Other guys have asked me out, I tell them no, cause there's no doubt I'm your girl. I've been looking for someone true, but I stopped looking when I found you. Each time we kiss, you thrill me so. Your girl.
Your girl.
And it won't be too long before I know you want me to be more than your girl.
got seven pieces, man, and down on my mind. Got seven pieces, man, and down on my mind. I'm so blue, my baby, that you left me here behind. Got
had a dream that worried me like a drunken guillotine lingering just above my head. Why was I born a nine cursed repeatedly? Who would know if I should die? No one needed me. Do 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 do. Once my bones began to change, I was tall and young again, sweet as rain falling on the snow. Who is he? Who am I? What played in between? How can I say goodbye? No one let me in. Cause you know me for now. Oh, now it's too late to open the door. La 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 la.
Just your line. Sweet talking, baby. Sweet talking, baby. Sweet talking, baby. Sweet baby of sway when you walk. Sweet talking, baby. Sweet talking, baby. Sweet talking, baby. Sweet baby of mine. Sweet baby of mine.